Welcome back to the Crooked Spine Show. Are you safe at work? Does your company train you, other employees, and the business overall to be ready for an active shooter or natural disaster? In this part one talk with Wilbur of Tactical Training Division, we discuss the risk assessment of a company or business. Also, two, how special needs needs to be assessed for one, two. Also, individual employee training such as CPR. Also, what is a PRO from his military background, how that helps your overall company struggle if there is a disaster happening or an active shooter. Also, does training help you freeze or flight during an event? And also, too, how does law enforcement cooperate and coordinate with your company to help you get safely in and out of there as soon as possible, bringing the number of deaths risk as low as possible too, okay? We also talk about too is target areas, locations geographically in the United States, how they become more popular for one too, and differences in that. And also too, how and lastly, how does the mentality of an employee change from being, for example, a happy employee to disgruntled to become an active shooter and what that actually occurs mentally, right? So again, this is part one. With Wilbur, go to the show notes for individual topics. You want to go right to them if you're on YouTube for one too. If not, go right to the talk, and we'll talk afterwards about the overall wrap-up. All right. This is Dr. Tony. I'm here with Wilbur of Tactical Training.
How you doing?
Good, good. We spoke a little bit last couple weeks ago, and we talked a little bit right now, too. I want to go through an active shooter training with you. Again, a short version for one also. So people understand, in my community, other communities, too, how to react, how to train your react. Either if you're there with the active shooter, how to understand their mentality. Also, if you're not there, how to help without hurting the situation. Walk me through your training for one, too, before we get to everything here, of why you think it's important. What have you done to train for this?
Okay.
Become a trainee or trainer.
Well, my career, being in law enforcement and being on a CERT team, being in the corrections, yeah, I'm dealing with individuals all the time. In the correctional field, the mindset of the individuals and what they are thinking and going through. I started training for the department as an instructor.
For which department?
Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department.
So Las Vegas, okay.
Uh-huh.
Good deal.
And
crazy out there.
It gets crazy sometimes. But it was, I really enjoyed what I did. I really enjoyed the training and training others, and that's my passion.
Was that before the shooting out there a couple years ago?
Yes, okay. Okay. And we talked about that a lot, about something like that could happen, possibly happen.
Even before it happened.
Because it's a mecca for people coming in for vacations and everything. It's
an
easy target, easy opportunity. And I'm very sad that something like that happened. But me, I like to train. Right now, my company's Tactical Training Division. What we do is we train individuals to become executive protection agents, protecting dignitaries and celebrities, but also
to run one-on-one type of thing.
Yes.
Okay,
I would have at least like a group of individuals, 8 to 10 individuals that I teach weapons. Hand-to-hand combat, basically protecting weapon control, use of force, all the basics, guard card, all that stuff too. But then you have to think about, what about the employers when it comes to active shooter incidents? I'm training an individual to go and find the active shooter and stop the active shooter. But what about the employees and the employer? What are they supposed to do?
You said that's more common, correct?
It's more common.
Okay.
It's a whole lot more common right now. If I train them, the company, then we're more likely to have less casualties. Because when you have an individual going there, our job is to stop the shooter. And we'll find a lot of casualties at that point. If I teach an employer what to do and how to do it, and they train, they get a risk assessment. I give them a risk assessment.
What's a risk assessment?
A risk assessment is basically part of a emergency management assessment. So emergency management assessment. So I'll come in and I will look at their the layout of the building.
Okay.
Who's in charge of certain things, and then I'll have a risk assessment form, and we'll
go through. You're walking through. Okay, how? In my sense, would be how safe is this place?
Exactly. Not only that, is you, what about knowledge? What is the knowledge of in all the individuals in the building? What are you supposed to do? Do you have protocol? Do you have certain things that's in your policies and procedures to show what to do in case of each emergency? In particular, active shooter. Do you
but
have
is there
anything
a policy, but also are you trained to act out that policy?
Exactly. That's are you training? About. Are you doing hands-on training right now at this point? If you're not, then you're not ready.
Yeah. It's funny in the sense where you think about it, but if it happens, uh-oh. And do you look at individuals? Is that individual, for example, are they trained outside of your company? Do they have, say, military training? Mm-hmm. So you go through each assessment, and not only the company, but also the individual employee, and see what their training's like.
Well, I don't go that in depth, but when it comes to CPR training, do you know how to put on a tourniquet? Anyone in there know how to put on a tourniquet? Do your company have at least 10% of your company, are they trained in CPR? CPR trainer where they can put a tourniquet on, they can do first aid. Why are people dying? People are dying because they're bleeding out too fast. If we could put a tourniquet on some of these individuals, we might be able to save their lives.
During active shooter,
you're talking about
minutes sometimes, or even seconds, or you have to be able to react right away.
Correct.
Wow, okay.
And see, if you had 10% of your individuals in your company that are certified to do these things, then we have enough to cover around the company to take care and administer CPR or first aid to these individuals and save lives.
Wow.
Then we talk about in the matrix, in the risk assessment in the matrix, we talk about, after we figure out everything that needs to be done, we talk about what happens, what do you do if there emerges, if the active shooter is on the outside, how do we barricade ourselves? Type of devices do we use for our doors? Do we close the blinds? Do we silence our phones? All these different things are part of the plan when you're barricading. What type of tools? Do we have proxy cars to close our doors? Do we have, are we managing our doors and our windows? In case of emergency, if it's happening inside, how do we trigger to let everyone know that there's an active shooter incident happening right now?
You're talking about a system to where most people have no idea what they're doing. They go to work every day.
Mm-hmm.
They're blindfolds on to get to their desk, get to the restroom, get to the water cooler, get to the coffee machine.
Mm-hmm.
They might not even know Johnny next building over, or the next hallway over, or the next office over.
Right.
So how do you get them to, after you've done the assessment, and you talked about scenarios, it's a shooter's outside or inside. Is there a different scenario beyond those two? Okay, those are the major two. Is there more than that?
No, this is basically the two, the barricaded positions.
If they're outside.
If the after shooter's outside. And if it's inside, then we evacuation. If you can't evacuate, barricade.
Got it, okay.
And then you barricade, and if you have to get to that point, you fight. But our main goal is to barricade or evacuate. Just get out.
Get away from the shooter.
Right. If we evacuate, do we have placards on the walls in certain locations of your business or the facility, letting each one know where exactly your evacuation spot is, and also where your assembly areas? Do you have assembly areas when you're out there? Who are you going to meet in the assembly area? Who's taking charge of each assembly area? Who's designated to
make it to a safe area? Okay, now what do you do?
Right.
Because that can be panic too.
Right.
Someone may just take off and bolt, or they could help someone else.
Right.
Wow.
And some of those individuals that are in those designated in those assembly areas are EMT or CPR certified.
If someone has a disability, for example, in a wheelchair or a walker,
we talk about
how do you work with them, or how do you assess an outlet for them to get out of there or barricade, and what do you do?
That's another thing that's part of risk assessment. Do we have elevators? Do we have ramps in certain areas? These doors that I'm referring to were emergency doors in certain areas. They're one-way doors. Not everyone has a one-way door. That means on the outside there's no handle. But inside, you have the handle where you push it and it will set the alarm. Wow. So those are one. That's one way of setting an alarm and letting everyone know. It's a fire door, basically.
Yeah, 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 fire.
And okay. and you open those doors. Those same doors should have at least a ramp or elevator for the special needs.
Well, someone may not even be an employee there. Someone's visiting the employee.
Exactly. Same
or,
thing.
Or they're an outside contractor. Yep. You have no idea.
There should be plans for visitors, all visitors.
Is it mostly you want in the hallways more visual signs or even lights too? Or what do you focus on if the alarm does go off?
I'm thinking either front desk, if they can get it, supervisors have alarms underneath their desk, and the doors have alarms on their desk. Who's designated to set these alarms?
Wow.
And if they're setting these alarms, what are the protocols? Okay, all the EMTs or CPR certified individuals, you should have your badge somewhere near you, either at your desk or a certain area that's close to the door or exit if you can't get to it, whatever. It should be really close in proximity to where you are.
And what companies have you worked with or should get these type of assessments at least done to know their risk value?
Everyone.
Wow.
I don't think it's not a pick and choose.
Yeah, it's not a certain type of company or business. It's everything.
Right. It's everyone. Okay. And if you're looking for that type of training, you just do. You come on my website.
And I already put on the post too, exactly the link to your Facebook page.
Okay.
It's easy.
Yes. Okay.
And going back to it too, once you have that in play and you have the risk assessment, okay, this is where we want to put things, whatever it is. How do you train the employees to actually understand how to go through a scenario so they go through an active shooting drill?
So once we finish the risk assessment,
the risk assessment
also becomes a policy and procedures because now it blends in. Now you can either adopt it or not adopt it. You can make it, you can fix it however you want. But I help tailor companies' matrix and their emergency management plan to tailor their company. So once they see that, they know everyone, every 6 months, depending on how often you have people, new people
turnover,
coming in. But it's usually would be every 6 months you will do a training. And I'm talking about full-scale training. We're doing sand tables where you have an actual layout
of the
building.
Okay, so model per se. Okay, got it.
Not only that, but you have a little briefing. You talk about it. I can come in or I can train individuals to do that in the company, and if they still need assistance, I have no problem going.
Well, it's both because if they're you're training individuals that maybe lead that company, then they're teaching someone else, so they know for sure because they have to teach it.
Yes,
and if they have the respect of their employers already, it's part of being an employee there.
Right.
And when someone goes through that active training, what should they feel?
Once they finish it with it, I give them a certificate. Then they know exactly, hey, I'm trained. I know what to do.
Yeah.
I know how to do this. And then not only the employer feels comfortable because they hire someone and say, look, we have a safe zone, a safe place. We do active shooter training, so there's nothing really you need to worry about because we will train you. We'll have you ready any incident, whether it's a fire, flood, whatever, earthquake.
So it's not just natural, it's anything.
It's any.
They can get in or out as soon as possible.
Yes.
As a group, as an employee, if you want to call it company.
Yes.
That's great.
Even in, like I say, even visitors coming in and visiting, that supervisor and or the client, I mean the employee that's working with that individual know exactly what they need to do with that visitor.
When they go through the active training drill, what's your feedback? How they feel during the physically feel during the drill?
I think
what's the range there?
They're first of wow, I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
This is a lot of information, and that's what I do. I love giving as much information as I can, so they will like. I don't give a person a little bit. I give them a lot. I give them a lot of information. Not too much to where they're like, okay, it's too much.
Yeah, they can't see it anymore.
No, it's more like, I want more. Tell me more. What else can I get from your head, your brain?
Assuming you get the emotional response that gets them to click. This is important to me.
Yes, this is very important to me. This is something that I need to train all the time. The same thing with the employer, the owners. They are like, this is great. Mm-hmm. I need to make sure that my individuals know this information and I'm aware of this information.
It's almost like a teamwork too, in the sense where, okay, you're in charge of this, you're in charge of this. This happens, we do this.
Yes.
We're on the same page.
Do we have a PIO?
What's a PIO?
A PIO is a public information officer. Does every company have one?
Yeah.
Those are the individuals.
I'll say don't. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, that person is going to, we have it in the military. Yeah. I was a detachment commander in the military too, for the military police. And that was one of my jobs as a commander.
Yeah.
I had several hats. And you need to be able to speak to authorities.
Mm-hmm.
Someone has to be speaking to authorities.
So then there's a level, a chain of command per se.
Correct.
And the steps to follow that command.
And when the media comes, yes. Because when the media comes, they're going to want to know. They want to know information. And there's a certain designated individuals that go up to the law enforcement and to the media and speak to the media.
Because someone goes in and just starts talking and they're erratic and they're hysterical. Yeah. That doesn't look good.
That's scaring a lot of people.
Yeah, and it's not scaring, I want to say, not the people there, but the people watching.
Family members, yes.
Friends, whatever it might be. That would be scary.
That's correct.
Wow.
That's okay. Why the PPO is there. The PPO, you should have someone designated as a PPO officer.
Wow. Okay. Is there a minimal physical ability to do the active training?
Physical? Anyone can do it. It's really easy. It's based off awareness and how you move and what your responsibility is. That's it. If you have those things down, you understand
so that. Awareness. Okay.
Being able to move
in the right position, right direction, right timing.
Direction.
Okay.
Like for instance, there's a way to open this door. It feels an active shooter scenario happening right now. There's a way of opening the door. You don't open it to where you're looking out. You open it to where you're looking, and then if someone comes in, you can slam the door.
So we're looking at your periphery of your eye, not directly on with your eyes.
You you first open the door this way, and then you look. Wow. But you don't open it up. You just open yourself
and
up.
And people are just naive, just don't know.
Right.
Simple things.
If I'm walking down a hall, and I hear the shooting, we're trying to get out, we see the door, I'm not going to walk down the middle of the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
The hallway. I'm going to scale the walls. I'm going to walk and go low and move as fast as I can. Why? Because if he's coming around, he doesn't see you. You don't see him. At least you have a chance to fight.
Yeah.
If you're in the opening, you're walking in, he sees you. If he sees a corner, he can see you.
And he has the first shot. He can go into a room or something else. He doesn't catch you right away. And you're low enough where it gives you some chance of, I guess, being in a good position.
Yeah, and fight.
Well, you have no idea. How many people... And, for example, will be able to fight, just in general human population, versus wanting to freeze or run away?
If they go through the training, they have a chance because they're going to want to fight. Or they're going to get out of the building as quick as possible. If you don't have the training, you're more likely to freeze. And when people freeze, that's when
you become just an open target.
Yes.
Is it because if they haven't gone through the training, they panic?
Yes.
They go into just freeze mode.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, versus gun training, now they have an emotional ability to keep their emotions from going to panic mode. Now they can think logically, follow the system, follow procedure at that point, and get out or barricade whatever you have to do to get yourself and your other coworkers safe also.
Right.
When people panic, do they think about just themselves or other people?
They're thinking about their family. They think about themselves. This is if they're not trained.
Exactly. They've been untrained.
Yeah, untrained. They're thinking about themselves. They're thinking about being able to see their family members ever again. Is this my last day? Mm-hmm. This is my last minute? But if you're trained, this is like, we're going to get out of this building. We're trained to do what we needed to do. What was put together in this our policy and procedures will get us out of here alive or minimize the casualties.
Yeah.
So,
but I like that because once you've done that training, your emotional, if you want to call it reflex, you can minimize that to help you and everybody else.
Yes.
Because your job is to get out and not just say, okay, this is my last day on earth. What are we going to do?
Right. You're not thinking about that.
No.
You're not thinking about that.
Walk through your procedures. So I'm going to check something real quick on Facebook. Walk through procedures. Let's walk through that real quick.
Okay.
I want people to understand, not only, okay, now we kind of are going to backtrack and go, how does this actually work? What do we have to do and understand and learn, and then we can apply that information?
Okay, so we'll go to the purpose of my...
If we're going to do two, Wilbur, if that's okay, I'll get a copy of this from you later, too, and put it on the Facebook post or a link to it, if that's okay.
Okay.
So people can see this later, too. So go ahead.
Okay, so basically, I go through the policy and procedures and everything. Okay, so I would automatically tell individuals before I even teach the course.
Okay.
Now, if it's not in your policies and procedures, don't follow what I'm saying right now until it's in your policies and procedures, because your policy and procedures can get you fired if you're not doing what they're telling you to do. So I let them know, I do not override your policies and procedures. Yeah. Until it is implemented, then go ahead and do exactly
let
that.
Let the guys upstairs or girls, let them put that, but let me, I'm gonna set something up so you can, if it works for you and your company.
Right, right.
Got it, okay.
Okay, so then I go on and I tell them the seriousness of active shooter incidents that have happened in America. And if you look at this map right here, it's a lot of incidents, mainly on the East Coast. And then you see a lot of it is in California when it comes to the West Coast.
Why is that?
Because there's more population. You remember I'm talking about opportunity.
Yeah.
The opportunity for an individual, for an active shooter, they're looking at opportunity. Opportunity meaning the number of people. How many people can I call? How many casualties can I cause in a short amount of time?
Exactly.
So population is heavy in the East Coast. Population is heavy in California. Then I go through and I give them a little... this right here says active shooter incidents by location. We're talking about location. Where is it at? Is it in a business? Is it in a school? Is it outdoors or other? Others in a bar, restaurant.
Has that changed recently?
Yes,
from business to school? Okay, so it was school before, I'm assuming.
This,
now it's more business.
This scale right here is showing between 2000 and 2012.
Okay.
So, and I need to update this because this is it's not up to date.
Been a couple years, yeah. But,
yes.
Yeah.
If we change this right now, if we talk about right now,
2019.
I'm for sure, again, it will still, business will still be the highest.
Okay.
Then it will be outdoors, will be second.
Wow.
Then others, and then schools.
Why outdoors?
Because, like I said, like you see the concert, outdoor concert.
Yeah, I got it. Okay.
Outdoors. You're seeing groups of people. The Garlic Festival, recent.
Okay.
The only reason why we didn't have many casualties in that one is because we had undercover or law enforcement there.
Yeah.
They were ready for it.
Wow.
That was smart. They were ready for it. Some of these things we weren't ready for. You're not ready for the outdoor event. The Las Vegas incident, we weren't ready for that. We had no idea someone
you
was
were getting ready for it, just
we were
weren't
getting,
ready for
yes,
it.
Yes, we weren't ready for the ass. We have the capabilities, but they weren't looking, they weren't thinking about something like that ever happening. Now we are. We have to. We have to.
In any outdoor event or
yes,
venue.
Yes, yes. Then I give them a couple of pictures and photos and everything. Talk about certain active shooter incidents in California as a whole. But then we go into the casualty rates. How many people are getting killed in the different scenarios, in the different areas? And the Sacramento County Sheriff's deputies,
yeah.
Remember they went in there? This was in 2015. You had 16 dead, 24 critical. Yeah, this is a lot of things that I go through of all the different.
And these are
incidents.
Companies that were, or businesses, or even counties that weren't ready for this.
They weren't ready for it.
Wow.
And
you think even especially federal buildings or city buildings would have some type of training? You would
well,
think.
They do, but it's for again. We're used to training to go seek the active shooter.
Yeah,
we're not. We're now starting to encompass where we're training the actual workplace.
So that's the transition of the training is okay, how you employees, teachers, business employees, whatever it is, too, or outdoor venue coordinators understand how this works.
Right. Okay. We need to embrace everyone. We need to bring everyone in, then train everyone so that when this happens, we know that this is how we handle it. It's not just one side. Whereas law enforcement and security, it's everybody.
It's not waiting for them to respond and follow commands. It's you have to be ready to go because they may not get inside the building, may not get inside the school.
Right.
Or the venue at times.
And that's a big, that, with you saying that right there, that's part of the risk assessment.
Mm.
Do we have maps? Okay, where have you, your place of business is? Who are your jurisdiction? What is your jurisdiction? Do you, are you having city? Are you having county sheriff department? Mm-hmm. So you having a local police department, sheriff department? What resources do they have? When you train every 6 months, can you have individuals come out and do a full scale training with you? Fire department, police department, sheriff's department, EMTs, these individuals. Knowing this and knowing how they know your layout of your building, it happens
it's quick.
Yes. And save a lot of people's lives.
And that those seconds, those minutes that go by when there's no one there and everyone's on their own plane trying to protect themselves, that's complete panic.
Yes.
And that's probably the shooter's advantage, too.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they should have proxy cards.
There are proxy cards.
Proxy cards is like when you have the magnetic strip on your doors when they lock.
Yep.
If you hit the proxy card, the door unlocks and will open.
Okay, got
it. I think employees need to have those. If you feel that this is going to be this, you've been having problems with individuals. Mm-hmm. Individuals are counseling and all that stuff. These should be already.
If there's already a risk in your company or business or school or building, that should someone
should be mandatory. Should automatically. Well, and I really think that universities,
mm-hmm.
when you're talking about the admin buildings, those should automatically be proxy card. Well, they should. They're not.
No.
Not a lot of them, they're not.
But why do they hold off on it? Why do they go, that's not a big deal?
That's a really good question because I don't understand that you need to think about what are target areas.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have someone come in and talk to you about what are target areas, what are target areas for active shooters, then people will start thinking about, oh, yes, we do need that. I really appreciate that. But until we start getting out there and start talking about it, it's not going
to
change.
And there's more people have to talk, or like in the past has happened, something has to happen.
Yes.
That's what I worry about.
A security officer, a police officer is not going to be able to be everywhere.
That's the...
All the time.
And this I think we're become less naive that that's more realistic
mm-hmm.
than expecting someone to be there right away.
Right.
It's because it may be traffic or they're on another call somewhere else. They can't get to your school or business on time.
Right.
And once they get there, it's already in full-scale panic. At that point, they can't control the situation.
Yes. Yes.
And the shooter may have been there 5 minutes ago. Now where are they?
Right.
So what does the officer usually do?
They're all reactive. It's right at this point, it's reactive. And
is it going because I'm by myself, or do I wait for backup?
That's a protocol.
Uh-huh.
It depends on the department's protocol.
Yeah.
And I'm not... talking.
It's just per dependent, even per officer, I'm assuming.
Yes,
too.
I know that they want to go in and handle the situation, but protocol is always, when I was on the department, it's protocol.
Yeah, yeah.
You have a certain amount of people before you go in.
And as the bullets are flying around probably, you're like, okay, how many more people are dead?
Yes.
How many people are being shot?
And this is minutes.
Wow.
This is not hours, this is minutes. Don't take that long.
And going back to the shooter itself, we talked a little bit before we started the interview, is what's a shooter's mentality, or on average, or if there's a way to say that, that when they go in to do something like this?
They're being shunned, disrespected.
The
shooter himself.
Okay.
Not liked, not part of the group,
mm-hmm.
not part of the team. They can have issues at home going on right now. Serious issues where they taking it to work, and then it's either you're getting ready to get fired, you know you're going to get
mm-hmm.
fired, you having an issue with certain co-workers, nothing's being said. I've talked to the active shooter. I've talked about it. No one's fixing anything.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked about it. No one's doing anything. I've talked about it. I'm not getting the counsel that I need.
I'm getting bullied, per se.
Yeah, bullied. That's basically one of the biggest things is bullied, or people don't care.
Wow.
And their reaction is, okay, well, you don't care, then I'm going to show you why you should care.
Yeah.
And it's too late at that point.
And as an employer, you have to be able to not manage but understand people's personalities and where they are, their psychological state, per se, and knowing, okay, should I check in with someone? Is it sometimes if there's an active shooter, when you go back and look at the situation, like you said, with a disgruntled or a bullied employee, do they go back and interview the employer and go, hey, yeah, I heard that was a problem, he didn't have a chance to deal with it?
You hear that all the time, because you hear people saying, yes, I remember that he had problems before. I wish he would have done something about it.
Yeah.
I wish would have done something. Well, yeah, I've heard this about him. Yes. Yes, it never went this far. We never taken it to the next level. We always kept it here, but never went to, never.
And maybe 8 out of 10 people or 9 out of 10 people are good down here. They'll, if you want to call it, extinguish that problem on their own, but that one person you don't count on.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. That's all it takes. Wow. You don't have individuals that take things seriously. Mm-hmm. It might not be that bad right at the time, but for this person, it is. For the active shooter, it is.
For a big company, what department would someone, I guess, either the employee being bullied or another employee that sees that third person report to?
HR should have designated counselors and stuff like that,
or places to get, or someone to get counseling for.
But it starts with your immediate supervisor.
Yeah,
your supervisor should start. They should provide training courses. This course, which I'm going to show some things, but no, it's great.
Yeah.
Which teaches supervisors what to look for, how to interact with certain individuals, what type of environment should you have in your workplace.
Just to start off, to have things not get this far.
Simple.
Well, okay. Yep. Is it good for an employee to do a personality assessment?
Mm-hmm.
Is that legal to do that?
You can. It's not illegal to do it.
Okay.
You can, depending on the type of company you're dealing with, because if you're dealing with children, you're going to do an assessment.
No matter what.
Background.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. You can hire a third-party investigating company or private eye come in to do that. Do certain things like that.
Just an objective person versus someone who works there already, or an HR person.
It's better to have a third party
do
that, and then they give it back to them, so that it doesn't look. You want to be neutral.
Like me.
Yes.
She just doesn't like
me. Right. You want to be neutral the whole time, but you want to give someone else. You have a glass door, and you want other people to be able to see what's going on.
More transparent.
Right. Nice. Not just the company. So they like, look, this is what we're getting.
Yeah.
We need to go from here to step, take the step.
It only helps the overall scenario.
Right.
All of us heard on the news or seen on TV when an active shooter event actually occurs. Maybe in a school environment, a public building, even in an open concert area. Being ready for one is a totally different story. None of us ever think we're going to be a part of that, but if we were, would we be ready? Probably not. In part one here, Wilbur discusses exactly how we can start getting ready and understanding the overall picture, and in part two, we'll discuss specifics of the actual assessment. It's called the 4 steps of active shooter management, and we'll talk about that in that part two next week. All right, so have a good week. Again, the show notes has all the highlights of all topics from this one bit of a longer talk for one, too. If not, jump to other podcasts from the links there and also watch the video. All right, so have a great week, and we'll see you next week.